Well, without you, we would be just talking to ourselves, which would probably totally happen. So we are glad that you here, that you are here. But trust us when I say we would be talking anyway, and are every Monday through Friday from noon to three, right here on My Talk 107.1. I'm Bradley Trainer. That's Holly Roberts. Colleen will be back with us tomorrow, and she did text while we were talking about that and reminded me the name of the show was Blackout. That Urkel hosted.
That memorable program.
It was kind of a fun show. Anyway, we're not talking about that right now. What we are going to talk about is Chrissy Teigen and Courtney Stodden. Holly, did you see this kerfuffle?
Oh, yeah. Saw it over on Twitter where Chrissy Teigen first initiated this conversation. Well, actually, this goes back a long time. We've been talking. I feel like the Colleen and Bradley show has been talking about this for a really long time.
Yes. Now, we have been fans on the Colleen and Bradley show of Courtney Stodden for a long time. Now, we've since sort of reassessed our conversation around Courtney Stodden, because as Courtney Stodden has aged, she appreciated her life in a different way and really began to ask some very important questions that the rest of us were like, oh yeah, okay, we maybe should have taken this a little more seriously. Because you'll remember Courtney Stodden, child bride, Doug Hutchison, and everybody seemed totally fine with the fact that a teenager was being married off to a 50-some-year-old man.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, I wasn't here when all of this was happening, so I don't know the conversations necessarily around Courtney Stodden and Doug Hutchison when it was happening in real time. Like, opinions,
well,
thoughts,
the
concerns.
The atmosphere at the time was very much like people just made... It was a joke. Mm-hmm. It was a punchline. Mm-hmm. And what people seemed to forget was that she was a child. And so when you make a child a punchline, you know, looking back, we now cringe that anybody would have treated a child as a punchline, especially when that child very likely, as she's described herself, was a victim of abuse.
Yeah.
And had some really problematic relationships with her family. Anyway, so that's kind of where we were, right? And Courtney Stodden has since gone on to, you know, just look at her.
Oh, they.
Oh my gosh, you're absolutely right. I completely forgot. Courtney Stodden identifies now with the pronouns they.
Yes.
So let me correct myself. And thank you so much, Holly. I had completely forgotten. We just did that story. And Courtney Stodden has refocused their
narrative?
I guess the story,
yeah,
right?
The story.
The
right,
story
yeah.
about what actually happened. And in this moment, today we were talking about Chrissy Teigen specifically, because Chrissy Teigen was very vocal in attacking Courtney Stodden.
Yes, back in the day when that story was first happening. Now, Courtney Stodden, I think that they've talked about this maybe even a year ago. This is not the first time that this conversation has come up where Courtney Stodden has said, hey, Chrissy Teigen was really, I'm paraphrasing, but was sending me really abusive messages, and not only saying these things publicly on Twitter, but also sending me these really heinous direct messages about myself.
Yes.
And telling me to do really bad things to myself.
And I don't know that we appreciated exactly how horrible some of the things Chrissy Teigen said to Courtney Stodden were. Mm-hmm. And Chrissy Teigen made an apology on Twitter, and that's what we're talking about today. And then Courtney Stodden responded to that apology. So let's start with Chrissy Teigen and what she had to say. And I just want to back it up and make sure we're starting in the very... she says, let's see here, I'm just going to pull out this
it
tweet.
It starts with not a lot of people.
Yes. Not a lot of people are lucky enough to be held accountable for all their past BS in front of the entire world. I'm mortified and sad at who I used to be. I was an insecure, attention-seeking troll. I am ashamed and completely embarrassed at my behavior, but that is nothing compared to how I made Courtney feel. I have worked so hard to give you guys joy and be beloved, and the feeling of letting you down is nearly unbearable, truly. These were not my only mistakes and surely won't be my last, as hard as they are, but hard as I try, but God, I will try. Mm-hmm. I have tried to connect with Courtney privately, but since I publicly fueled all this, I want to also publicly apologize. I'm so sorry, Courtney. I hope you can heal now knowing how deeply sorry I am. And then she says that she's sorry I let you guys down. So Chrissy Teigen, what was that?
I think she sounds like a clown in these apologies.
Grant's giving us opinions.
Yeah.
All right.
Get to it.
So cut to the chase. Courtney responds. And through TMZ, Courtney tells TMZ, I accept her apology and forgive her, but the truth remains the same. I have never heard from her or her camp in private. In fact, she blocked me on Twitter. She goes on to say, all of me wants to believe this is a sincere apology, but it feels like a public attempt to save her partnerships with Target and other brands who are realizing her wokeness is a broken record. So Courtney's having none of it. Clearly, although she says they say that they accept Chrissy's apology.
Yeah.
However,
there's a big but. Yes.
And especially when you read the things that Chrissy Teigen was saying at the time, which include but are not limited to direct messages, which told Courtney Stodden to quote. How should I say this?
Well, if you do a direct quote, we're making it established that this is a direct quote that Chrissy Teigen, she said this to Courtney Stodden. So,
well, she basically said, my Friday fantasy, you, dirt nap, baby.
Right.
Essentially implying that they should
take a dirt nap.
Take a dirt nap. I mean, you can see what... Chrissy Teigen was trying to say.
Yeah. And the reason we hesitate, and these are horrible things to say to someone, period. These are horrible things.
Yes, exactly. And so I think in this moment, you know, we find ourselves with Courtney Stodden saying, thanks for the apology, but that doesn't take away the pain and the harm that you caused. And for somebody who lives so publicly, that is Chrissy Teigen, I don't know that public apology is perhaps enough.
Well,
now,
yeah, I was going to say, to Courtney Stodden's point, though, thinking that this is pretty shallow because it's in service of maintaining her celebrity and her status within the world of corporations and sponsorships, totally understand that because, like we said at the beginning of this segment, Courtney Stodden has been pretty open about receiving this kind of message from Chrissy Teigen. And they called out Chrissy Teigen specifically in the past. And unfortunately, I don't have the exact date of when that was. But we've talked about it on here. And that so now, only when Chrissy Teigen has gone through her own public relations evolution, her kind of precarious relationship with Twitter and other things, that obviously it was like, okay, this is in service of something larger that you're trying to accomplish in the public eye. Totally understand where Courtney Stodden's coming from.
Yeah.
In her cynicism to Chrissy Teigen's apology.
Yeah. And the fact that it wasn't just Chrissy Teigen. And so if it were just one individual, perhaps you would have more willingness to address that one individual and accept that person's apology. In this case, it was a lot of people. It was not just Chrissy Teigen. And so it must be that much harder to, you know, to sort of accept away an apology. I don't know. I just feel like that is a lot of work that we shouldn't expect. Courtney Stodden should just, you know, absolve away.
Yeah.
Right? Like, right. I feel like this is going to be a journey for them. And frankly, this will probably not be the last we hear from them on this particular story.
Indeed.
I hope she's held more accountable than just, like, some apologies and some, like, public ridicule. Like, I don't know.
You're saying Chrissy Teigen.
Yes. I mean, like you said, Holly, these are very serious things that nobody should say to anybody.
Yeah.
And under any circumstance. And yet, not saying her, but a lot of these celebrities going around acting like they're better than everybody else and, you know, that they can do no wrong. And it's a quick apology is the way to move on. But in reality, like, that's not how it always works. Like, if I make a big mistake and I called you one of that, I would take a long time for me to rebuild that relationship. It wouldn't be just a quick apology.
And likely there would be consequences.
100%.
Yeah.
HR consequences. I may not ever get to work with you guys again or hang out. I mean, it just seems like It just seems so fake. And I don't mean to go on too much, but I'm just really disturbed by how
I think you're allowed to have your opinion.
How she's just like, well, it's, you know, I'm trying to make amends. We all need to make amends for our past. We made mistakes, but it just seems so.
There's a difference, too. I think people were trying to have this, not to belabor the point, but I think people, there's a difference between being, quote, mean on Twitter and sending someone a direct message telling them to take their own life.
There you go.
Mm-hmm. Right?
Yes.
Like, that's a big difference.
Big difference.
And that's, I think, the thing that will get Chrissy Teigen in trouble ultimately is that behavior, not just saying mean things or saying things that maybe you could have said to an adult but should have appreciated were not an adult in this particular case. Like, she was a teenager. Like, that's a far different thing from saying you should take your life. Mm-hmm. So I feel like that the book on that has yet to be completely written, and I feel like we're going to hear more about that.
Yeah.
All right. When we come back here on the Colleen and Bradley Show, we have to head back to, for the 300th time today, Publationship Corner, because we've got another Publationship to talk about. And actually, it's just a relationship, but of two very highly visible individuals. And we'll tell you about them when we come back right here on My Talk 107.1. Welcome back to the Colleen and Bradley Show here on My Talk 107.1. Sometimes the best conversation happens in the break, and I apologize because it's, you can't hear it.
A single tear.
But right now, we're going to get back to another conversation that's, you know, going to be just as good in the break or on the air. You're listening to the Colleen and Bradley Show here on My Talk 107.1. And Holly, you have a story about Bill and Melinda. Now, to call them a publationship, not quite, but kind of. I mean, they are celebrities of a sort.
Well, actually, you know what? You could honestly say that maybe perhaps Bill and Melinda Gates would fit into the world of publationship, because, Brad, what's the definition of a publationship?
It's just celebrities behaving badly. No, it's people in a relationship for publicity.
Yes, and I would argue, let's make the argument that Bill and Melinda Gates have used their celebrity in the service of their foundation. So they have their fame and their fortune to push an agenda.
Exactly.
It just might not be the agenda that we're used to in the world of celebrity in Hollywood, but it is an agenda nonetheless.
So what's going on with these two kids?
Bill Gates is totally going on the offensive. Don't look over here, Bradley, about all these stories about Bill Gates and Jeffrey Epstein, and the reason that Melinda Gates filed for divorce was because of his relationship with Jeffrey Epstein and other nefarious fellows. Oh, no, Brad. The real reason that Bill Gates and Melinda Gates got a divorce is because Bill Gates' golf buddies say that his marriage was loveless and it had been over for some time, and that they're already living separate lives, so no big deal, nothing to see here.
Well, it's like they just grew apart. Yeah. This is totally a foregone conclusion.
Yeah.
Never mind that the entire family was angry at him, and they all escaped to Divorce Island without him.
Yeah, you know, Bill Gates, he's just a golf fanatic. He even got married at a golf course in Hawaii.
What are you talking about, golf? What?
This is according to these sources at Page Six. They want to deflect from the fact that there is a conversation about Bill Gates and Jeffrey Epstein in this divorce that his people don't want you to be talking about. They don't want you to think that the reason that Melinda Gates filed for divorce from Bill Gates is because of his nefarious business practices and relationships with horrible people. No, it was just a loveless marriage. Nothing to see here. Very status quo, happens all the time.
Oh, yeah, happens all the time with two of the richest people in the world.
Yeah.
Maybe not.
Maybe not. So we're starting to get these stories to distract and to deflect the narrative.
And so you're saying it's distracting and deflecting from the narrative of, hi, I'm Jeffrey Epstein's friend, and it's kind of awkward.
Yeah, because there is that narrative, and we've been talking about it. And you can go over to places like people.com. Exclusive. Bill Gates' meetings with Jeffrey Epstein are a sore spot for Melinda Gates, says source. So her people are going over to people.com. His people are going over to Page Six and other places.
Well, we've seen this behavior before.
Yeah. All the time.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, this is literally a page out of Publationship 101.
And I will say, we don't know what actual relationship Bill Gates had with Jeffrey Epstein. I mean, when we read that story earlier this week about Melinda Gates being like, this friend of yours is kind of sketchy and I don't like this, that was sort of the story was that she got like ooped out by it and decided to like move ahead with the divorce. Well, that could be true.
Yeah.
Well, but it's also true, or could be true, that that's just that's a story that she wants to get out to make her decision look better, perhaps.
Well, right, exactly. So it's kind of a fight of a War of the Roses publicationship style, because a source is telling People, and I'm thinking that the source is from Melinda Gates, that here's the first paragraph. Bill Gates has denied having any substantial ties to Jeffrey Epstein, to your point, Bradley, but whatever relationship the two had was enough to bother his estranged wife, Melinda Gates, with the source saying, Epstein is definitely a sore spot. That's a long time issue to fester. That's the quote from the source, talking at people.com. So?
It's going to get ugly. We know when billions of dollars are involved, turns out people say uncomfortable things. And we talk about them.
Yay!
Without the billions of dollars. Unfortunately, we would like some of that, and then we'll say whatever you want us to say. However, when we return, crazy, stupid idiots, dumb people doing dumb things, we're going to do that right here on My Talk 107.1. Good afternoon. It's Thursday, just about 2:30 in the p.m., and it's a beautiful day. Good afternoon. You're listening to the Colleen and Bradley Show. I'm the Bradley. Colleen will be back next week. We got the Holly. We got the Grant. And, of course, like every day, Monday through Friday anyway, from noon to 3, just about this time, we've got some crazy, stupid idiots.
Well, then, I guess one could say that's a crazy, stupid idiot.
Yeah! Colleen and Bradley present CSI.
It stands for crazy, stupid idiots.
It sure does. Why? Well, because the world is full of crazy, stupid idiots. Dumb people doing a lot of dumb things repeatedly over and over again, oftentimes in the state of
Florida.
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 Oh, that was awkward.
A little bit.
And sometimes other places.
Are we going to Florida first, Brad?
No, we are not going to Florida. In fact, once these pop-up ads get out of my face, I can tell you exactly where we're going. To the UK. I know that much. How about we're just going to the UK.
Okay, cool.
Okay. Yes. We've been there before.
Buckle in, honey.
I want to tell you about a lady. A lady who went to see a psychic, and apparently, and she works in the healthcare system over in the UK,
mm-hmm.
and
the NHS,
the
National Health.
Exactly. Amanda Malloy, who is actually, Amanda is the psychic. The woman is Lauren Dent. And Lauren said that she went to a group reading with Amanda in February, but Amanda had to leave after doing just half of the reading as she felt like she was too drained. She went to the group and she's like, sure, I'll do a reading for all of you guys. And then halfway through, she was like, woof, this is a lot. I need to go away. Perhaps the psychic juices were not flowing in the correct manner.
I'm an empath and I can only empath so much.
She said she did 3 out of 6 people and she was too drained and needed to, quote, go home. And she goes on to say, look, she said she would come back and do the rest on Wednesday, but I was working, so I messaged and asked if we could like swap days or like maybe I could get a refund. Well, apparently she did read the message because she could see on her phone that the psychic lady had read her message, but she never got back to her. And then almost a year later, she messaged me back asking for my bank details.
Okay.
That's not the crazy, stupid idiot status.
What is it then? Did they give her the money?
Well, she asked for a refund.
Yes.
And the psychic responded to her by saying, I hope you make the most out of the next 3 years, as it's the most important time you have left.
Oh, rude.
So essentially saying to the lady, like, I'm not going to give you a refund. And by the way, enjoy the next 5 or 3 years because they're your last.
Because you're going to die.
Oh.
Rude.
A little scary.
So that didn't go over very well, obviously. And also, can you imagine being told that?
Well, I would just be like, that's rude. And how do you know?
Yeah.
What do you know? Please. You couldn't even stick around for half the reading.
She, understandably, she was left feeling shaken from the comments, prompting her friend Rebecca to share a screenshot of the conversation on social media, telling people to avoid the psychic medium. So, anyway.
Yeah, don't go to that person. Rude. Rude.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, here's the actual message. Hi, Lauren. I shouldn't laugh because this would be terrifying. If somebody told me, I'm so superstitious. If somebody told me that, I'd be like, great. Okay, thanks.
You're going to mark it on your Google calendar. Yep.
Hi, Lauren. I messaged you a few weeks ago to send it to you. Ask your bank for details. You read it, but never got back. Strange. Not a problem. Make the most of the next 3 years. It's the most important time you have left. Thanks.
That is what I would like to call some bad karma on the part of the medium.
Yes. I don't feel like that's appropriate medium behavior.
No, it is not.
No.
No, it is not.
All right. Where are we going to next?
Oh, we're going to Florida.
Oh,
yeah.
Yes.
We're going to Miami
Finally.
Beach. Haven't been to Miami Beach in a while. Lovely part of planet Earth. Well, we have to go to a school. Well, we have to go to Audrey Nicole. We're just going to call her Audrey Nicole. She actually works in sales at Carnival Cruise Lines.
Oh, okay. I would
right?
like to be there.
Okay, so Audrey, she's in Miami Beach, and she decided to enter American Senior High School in Miami. And you're like, okay, well, why would this rando lady, who, by the way, is 28 years old, go into a high school in Miami Beach? Because a lot of high schools these days, they have security. You got to check in. You got to, you know, cross your T's and dot your lowercase J's on the name in the front.
Yeah, why would a rando show up at a high school?
Well, security confronted Audrey.
Okay.
When they did, Audrey was like, no, I'm a student, and I'm looking for the registration office.
Okay, but she's not a student, right?
No. But instead of walking into the registration office, she walked past it down the hallway and then confronted multiple students while they were trying to enter a classroom.
Okay, was she like a creeper or something?
Well, she stopped them from entering the classroom. Then school security confronted Andrea a second time. She refused to stop. Security notified her as a potential threat to campus. And then the authorities started swarming around her. Then they went out to the faculty parking lot.
A good way for things to not go well. I'm just saying. I don't feel like we're going to a good place.
Yes. And so she, you know, walked off the school property. Apparently, this had all been pre-planned because Andrea not only... You know, so it wasn't like, I'm just going to go and harass some students. No, Andrea showed up at this high school in Miami Beach, dressed like a student on purpose. And as she was preventing the students from entering the classroom, she was handing them pre-printed pamphlets with her social media username on the flyer.
Wait, she was handing out like her Instagram profile?
Yes, except on a hard copy.
On a piece of paper?
On a piece of
paper.
Hey,
kids.
Business card.
Check out my Instagram. It's called... I'm cool.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go.
Because apparently, according to police, when she eventually was taken into custody, Andrea wanted to show the kids a video she recorded on her phone while at school during the incident because she wants to be a social media influencer with the kids. And she wants them to like, subscribe, and follow.
This sounds very Jerry Blank. If Jerry Blank were to show up in 2021, remember Strangers with Candy?
Yes. A brilliant show.
Oh, God,
brilliant
that show. And also a show that I'm pretty sure we could not watch today.
No.
Yeah,
it would not make it past any sensibility.
Yeah, that is one of those things that proves that comedy oftentimes is art of the immediacy and does not age particularly well.
That's a show in particular that when we talk about people who say things and then look back 10 years later and go, ooh, that didn't age well. I think, like, it's probably there's a reason we haven't seen a big... attempt to bring that show back.
A resurgence. Well, yeah.
Like, we're just going to leave that over there.
Yeah, so Andrea was basically like Strangers with Candying, and as much as she is an adult who dressed like she was a high school student, actually it was
cool.
Like, speaking of things that are problematic, well, this is one that I don't think people talk about enough. I mean, she was essentially doing A Never Been Kissed, the movie with Drew Barrymore, where Drew Barrymore is a journalist and she works with the Chicago Tribune. She dresses like a high school student, pretends to be a high school student, then eventually gets together with one of her teachers.
Okay, that's totally normal. What was the movie? Wasn't there one even earlier in the 80s where the a woman goes back and pretends to be a man. Well, I don't remember now.
Just one of the guys.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Who was in that? Who was the actress that played? And she goes undercover, right? To
yes.
play like one of the guys. And I don't remember why.
Yes.
I don't remember what the plot
and
was.
I don't remember it either. But apparently it's a loose adaptation of William Shakespeare's Twelfth Night.
Oh. But of course.
Yeah. Well, she's a teenager at the time. So the lead character.
So it's not like 21 Jump Street. It's not Johnny Depp pretending to be one of the kids.
Yeah, no. And it's not Drew Barrymore pretending to be one of the kids and then having a problematic relationship with one of her teachers who initially thinks that she's a teenager, but then kind of eventually realizes that she is an adult. And then they try to put a little bow on it at the end.
It was a fun journey. Thanks for taking me.
Yeah, there really was. Andrea was told, don't go to the high school again. You creep.
It's a good thing she didn't end up like, I don't know. Like, I just feel like you don't show up on a campus with students in 2021 unannounced.
Unless you're an alum, maybe just checking it out.
And even then, you know where the office is.
You go to the office and you tell Mrs. Francis that you're here to just walk the halls again and you'd like to sign paperwork so they all know you're there and nobody's going to question
what's and then they'll give you a little badge and then you can look at the new statue that they've put up.
In your honor.
Yeah, in your honor.
Mm-hmm. No, not my honor.
Do that. No.
No, I don't think any of us are going to be honored.
No.
High school.
No.
Do we have time for one more?
Yes.
Why not? Of course we do. Let's go to Kansas City, Mo.
KC.
So that's Kansas City, Missouri. I don't know. Some people might not know what Mo is.
I don't know. It's Missouri.
Missouri. I think it's Missouri, right?
People
from Missouri don't say Missouri.
Except my mom grew up in Missouri and she says Missouri, but I'm just like, is that something that you're being stubborn about? I don't know. Continue your story.
But we'll find out later in the show. Maybe you'll text her.
No,
I want to tell you about a guy. Basically, I'm going to cut right to the chase. And there was a legitimate chase. A guy stole a $58,000 SUV. And he stole that SUV the legal way. It was illegal, but he did it by going to the dealership and presenting a fake ID. So essentially, identity thieved this vehicle.
Theft by means via of, identity.
Thank you. Theft via identity. What she said. And he would have gotten away with it too. If it weren't for his crazy, stupid, idiot move.
Oh, I was going to say, did Scooby Doo and the gang show up? And he was like, I would have gotten away with it, too.
I would have gotten away with it, too. But he did something that earned him crazy, stupid, idiot status and thereby allowed law enforcement to catch him.
Oh, did he not use a blinker when he was turning?
Actually, no. So here's what he did. He, like many of us, when we make a big purchase, a significant purchase, was like, I know what I'll do. I want to take a picture, a selfie of myself and my new ride, my new wheels, my $58,000 Ford Explorer from Thoroughbred Ford. And he's just standing there in front of the thing. And so
and I'm sure
the dealership was like, so we've got the guy because he took a photo with us.
Yeah, and it probably has the thing that says Thoroughbred Ford where the license plate should be.
Because
it's brand new.
Yeah, he's in front of the dealership.
He's not even leaving.
Oh, God.
No, he's right there. And the Kansas City police is like, update, thank you so much. We've already identified this fool. Turns out he's in custody on the Kansas side on different charges. We'll submit this case for prosecution over here. So he had already been arrested for something unrelated.
Surprise. It's a nice car.
It is a nice car. Yeah. $58,000 is a lot of money for a vehicle.
Very much so.
I am just getting too old. Remember when cars were like less? Okay.